Happy Friday to each and every one of you. I hope you're looking forward to spending some time with your brothers and sisters in Christ this weekend with your home congregation. If you don't have a place where you worship and fellowship and pray and praise and study and serve with other brothers and sisters in Christ, you need to find a place. If you're actively looking right now and you're within driving distance of the Elkhart East Building, we invite you to come and check us out. Maybe we can be that home church you're looking for. Also want to say thank you to those who are making sure Into the Word stays on this radio station and on the internet. We appreciate that support, and may God bless you for it. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to two places, if you can possibly arrange it. If you can't, well, go to the Kings one to start with. 1 Kings chapter 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 3. We have this double witness of information here, which is really helpful because this section is full of numbers. It is full of details that are sometimes hard to record, sometimes hard to imagine in our heads. And so the more information we can get, the better. And that reminds me, I'll be probably a little bit hesitant here and there because I'm trying to make sure I bounce back and forth at the appropriate times because not all the information is in one particular witness here. It's also difficult because if we were together and I was skilled enough in sketching or skilled enough in working with an architectural program, I'd make these visual. I'd draw them out so that you can see them. I'd put them in a 3D rendering like SketchUp, and we'd rotate it around so that we can see it from all different angles. But I can't do that because this is radio. This is online audio. So I have to help you visualize it. So have patience with me as I try to find the right words in order to effectuate that outcome of putting into your brain, into your mind's eye, what's here on the page in front of us. So in 1 Kings chapter 6, we're told that in the 480th year after the people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, he began to build the house of He Who Is. Now, in another passage, it specifies even the second day of this second month. So we're talking mid-April, I believe, of 977 BC. I think that's the day they had the big ceremony of putting the first bit of stone into the ground as the foundation for the temple. Now, where the temple is located, or where the golden dome of the rock of the Muslim people is located on the Temple Mount today, that's basically where the Temple of Solomon was put. Now, if you happen to go to Israel and you go to the Dome of the Rock, then you find out that that dome is sitting over the top of some stone that is presented as a very important stone to both the Muslim people and the Abrahamic people. The Israeli people think that that was the stone on which Isaac was almost sacrificed. Some of them think that that's actually the stone on which God laid out the body of Abraham and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The Muslim people think that's the stone that Muhammad's horse took off from in order to go on some trip. And others believe that it's the place under which the well of souls is or something like that. You can go and read about it for yourself, all the traditions involved in it. For our purposes, understand that that stone may have been part of the threshing process of Ornan, the Jebusite from whom David purchased this property. But that stone would not have been seen in the temple because it would have been underneath the blocks that would be put in place for the temple itself. Because what would have happened is that the big massive blocks that started being quarried out would have been placed, recessed into the earth. And not just simply around the perimeter of the design of the building, but also blocks would have been laid between those perimeter blocks so that there is a nice flat platform. Now, what does this base have as its size? That's what comes up in our next verse, verse 2. The house that King Solomon built for he who is was 60 cubits long. Now, I explained to you last time from the 2 Chronicles 3:3 passage that it's the old cubit that is in mind here. That's very specifically said there. And so we're not going to use the 18-inch cubit. I know probably you got resources that do that and give you nice numbers, perhaps even in the footnotes. But I'm going to give you the numbers based on the 20.7-inch cubit because we know that's basically the length of the ancient royal Egyptian cubit. So 60 cubits long, that's east and west, would be 103.5 feet. Now, it was 20 cubits wide. Now, these are interior measurements. The inside empty space is measured here between the blocks. We don't know how big the blocks are. But in between the blocks is 103.5 feet east and west and 34.5 feet north and south. That's the basic three-sided building area. And so that's the inside of both the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place together. And then we're told that it was 30 cubits high. That's 51.75 feet. That's the head height inside from the floor to the ceiling in the holy place. The Holy of Holies is going to be a little square room at the western end of the Holy of Holies. Okay? So that's the inside measurements of the temple space. When we go over to 2 Chronicles 3, excuse me, make sure I get the right place here. Nope, I'm not finding it. I think it might be from Josephus, now that I'm remembering it. Josephus tells us that the building of the temple, including the upper rooms, because there were apparently rooms above the Holy of Holies. So the height of the full temple building that we're talking about here was 60 cubits. And so that's, again, 103 0.5 feet. And so Josephus makes a big deal that it is as tall as it is long. But not all of that is the worship space. Only about half of the height is the actual worship space. Back to our 1 Kings 6 passage. Verse number 3. The vestibule in front of the nave of the house. Now, nave here has to do with a holy place. So nave references that rectangular worship area of the Holy of Holies and the holy place, what we just described. So the vestibule that's in front, which I like to refer to as the tower, because that's really what it is. It's the entry tower. It's the tall element for the building to draw attention from a distance and to also give a connection from heaven to earth symbolically. Most ancient buildings that were associated with gods had some tall element to it. Worship sites had some tall element to make it easily seen from a distance. In our modern era, when they started building church buildings, they would build a big tower at the front. Later, they added bells to those towers, or they turned those towers into steeples. And again, the reason for it was to be seen from a long ways away, you know, to kind of guide people to the place of worship, and also to give that symbolic connection between earth and heaven, because it was a place of worship of God. All right, so there is a tower on the front of this rectangular temple building, and we're calling it the vestibule. The vestibule in front of the nave of the house was 20 cubits wide or long, equal to the width of the house. So it's just as wide as the temple is. It was 10 cubits deep in the front of the house, which means that's how far across this tower is when you're entering from the east and heading toward the west. That's how wide it is. And that's basically 17 and a quarter feet. So it's a pretty wide tower, but it's a perfect rectangle. It's like two squares put together as its floor plan. And then it goes upward. Now, here in Kings, it doesn't tell us how tall it was. Over in 2 Chronicles 3, 4, it does. There it says, the vestibule in front of the nave of the house was 20 cubits long, equal to the width of the house, and its height was 120 cubits. Now think about that. That is three times taller than the height of the Holy of Holies. And if Josephus is correct, that the temple with its upper floors was 60 cubits tall, then this tower is twice that height. 120 cubits, by the way, is 207 feet when you use the long royal Egyptian cubit. And so I don't know how familiar you might be with Notre Dame's campus, but I believe the library tower where Touchdown Jesus, the mural, is affixed to. I think it's something a little shorter than 207 feet, something of that neighborhood. So this is definitely something that you would see from a long ways away. And down below it, of course, would be the temple building itself. Okay, back to 1 Kings 6 as our primary. Verse number 4. He made for the house windows with recessed frames. Now, that's talking about the Holy of Holies. As he's put these blocks that form the sides of it, possibly up toward the top, there are recessed areas that allow both light and air to penetrate into the temple interior. Later, we'll find out that there's some sort of screening mechanism, lattice work, that will keep the birds out, maybe keep most bugs out. But it allows air and light to flow through at the top of the temple worship area, which would be important. The light makes sense because you'd like to have a little light inside during the brighter parts of the day. But also, remember, they're going to be using incense inside. They're also going to be burning oil lamps inside. And all of that's going to go up to the ceiling. And these windows are going to allow it to be kind of sucked out or blown out over time. And so it won't become stifling in there. Verse number 5. Before we start talking about the details of the interior, let's talk about the wraparound annex. Verse number 5. He also built a structure against the wall of the house, running around the walls of the house, both the nave and the inner sanctuary. So the nave is the holy place. The sanctuary is the holy of holies. That's all inside that 60 by 20 by 30 cubit interior. So on the outside of the main rectangular temple, there is going to be a wraparound three-story annex. And this is what it says about it. He made side chambers all around. So this annex has rooms in it, which will be used by the priests and the Levites to do work in and around the temple complex. Verse 6, the lowest story was 5 cubits, and that's broad. So basically from, if you think about the wall that touches the wall of the temple, and then outward from there, that's 5 cubits. And where's my cheat sheet here? 5 cubits is 8.625 feet. So 8 feet, 7.5 inches. So it's not a very long, not a very big room, but it's enough to put storage stuff in. It's like closets. That's the bottom level. Each of these rooms is about that broad. The middle level was 6 cubits broad. And of course, that would be 10 feet 35 inches, so like a small bedroom. And then the third story was 7 cubits broad, which would be 12 feet and 0.07 inches, so 12 feet and almost an inch, not quite. So each room is a little bit bigger as you go up, because of this. For around the outside of the house, he made offsets on the wall in order that the supporting beams should not be inserted into the walls of the house. Now, the word house here is a reference to the temple building itself, that rectangular building made of stones, and inside those stones is the Holy of Holies, and then inside the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies is inside the holy place. Solomon does not want to dig into the blocks that make out up the outside wall of the temple. That would be inappropriate in his mind. So what he does is he builds a little platform on which the crossbeams are going to be put against that outer wall. At the bottom, that platform is pretty wide. The next level, it's a little less wide. And then the top level, it's only as much as it needs to hold the weight of that top beam. And so that's why the top level is much wider than the bottom level. Now, nobody knows for sure, because this is the only description we have of the original temple. But it is a guess that these rooms were accessed from like a balcony at the front, meaning the farthest area away from the temple building on the three sides. And so you had to be able to get up to that by the means of some sort of stair-step arrangement. And that's going to come up in a little bit here. Verse number 7. When the house was built, it was with stone prepared at the quarry, so that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron was heard in the house while it was being built. Now, that's a little interesting side element here, that everything was dressed off-site, marked, well, put together with its matching components to make sure it fit, and then marked on the plan and then sent up to the Temple Mount. So when you get to the Temple Mount, you don't have to do any finish work. Everything just kind of snaps into place. Because Solomon did not want any of that noise on the Temple Mount. He wanted it to be kind of quiet in its construction. That will become important in a psalm that comes up later, and I'll bring that issue up at that point. Verse number 8, back to the annex, the wraparound annex. The entrance to the lowest story was on the south side of the house. So the house is the temple. So if you go to the south, there was a staircase that went up from the bottom level to the second level. It says it went up by one stairs to the middle story, and then from the middle story up to the third. And so that access staircase, and there might have been a matching one on the north side. There might have been a matching one over at the southwest corner and at the northwest corner. The stairway allowed priests and Levites to access the annex and probably walk along a little corridor or a little balcony at the front of each of these rooms, and they would know which room they needed to go to get whichever thing. It's these rooms that later in the second temple, we have to kick out a non-Israeli, non-priest who was using it as an apartment. And Nehemiah kicks the guy out. And so that's just a later story that should be connected with this this storage annex that wraps around the temple building. Verse number 9. So he built the house and he finished it. He made the ceiling of the house of beams and planks of cedar. So that's talking about inside the temple. You don't just have bare stone walls. Remember, we have stones that are put up as the main walls all the way around the temple. But those stones are covered on the inside with paneling. And then there's beams across the top and apparently a paneled ceiling as well. So he built the house, he finished it, he made the ceiling of the house of beams and planks of cedar. He built the structure around the whole house, 5 cubits high. That's how tall each of those annex buildings were, or those annexed rooms were, and that's 7.5 feet. That's their interior. So you put those three together, that's 15 cubits. Might have been a bit of height for the ceiling. So probably as much as 20 cubits of height on that annex around. And so it does not come all the way up to the top of where those windows would be going into the holy place to allow access and light. Again, my apologies that we can't do this in some sort of visual fashion. You have to use your imagination in order to get this done. But all of this is being put together with block and with timber made of cypress and cedars of Lebanon and elm wood, and we've got the paneling, and we're going to find out later that the paneling is carved and then coated with molten gold. Now, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 3 as we're starting to run out of time here. Verse number 5 of chapter 3 of 2 Chronicles says, "The nave," which that's the holy place, "he lined with cypress and covered it with fine gold and made palms and chains on it. He adorned the house with settings of precious stones. The gold was gold of Parvaim. And so he lined the house with gold, its beams, its thresholds, its walls, its doors, and he carved cherubim on the walls." One of the things that we get helped out with on this design is that in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is told to give the Israeli people the design work for the second temple. Now, they never used it like they should have, but the design work is there. And one of the things that it specifies is that you've got these three-dimensional carvings of the cherubim, but it's kind of in a 2D representation because we know that cherubim had four faces. But on the walls, they only carve two of the faces. And each of the cherubim are between palm trees. So that's probably, in the Ezekiel passage, a redo of Solomon's design work, where they put up the paneling, and then they come in, they carve it in relief with cherubim and these palm trees, and then they put jewels in, perhaps for eyes and stuff. They paint everything with molten gold, and everything is amazingly beautiful. Mark your place. We'll come back, talk more next time we get into God's Word.